godly serve, what a godly serve. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Let's take our Bibles. Take our declaration for the state of this life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Y'all, before I go on, does anybody have a word from the Lord this morning? It's like it's heavy upon my heart. That's why I'm taking my time. I just want to make sure. God knows what's happening, and so I just want to make sure. Praise God, praise God, praise God. When God decided, that in whom I say God decided, he knew what was going on from the beginning of time. Beginning eon ages. When God decided it was time for the Israelites to come out of Egypt, he raised up a man called Moses. Moses made some mistakes and whatever. But he came back and he told Pharaoh, "Let my people go," talking on behalf of the Father. "Let my people go." And we know that they went through a list of plagues, from frogs to lice to hail to all kinds of things. And the last plague that hit hard and finally broke and gave a little leeway that the Egyptians and Pharaoh would let God's people go is when God instituted the Passover. And the institution of the Passover was when it says the death angel came into the camp all over and passed over the houses that had what? The blood of Jesus, or the blood of goats or lambs. The blood of the lamb upon the doorpost and the lintel of the house. Now it says that God instituted it. God said, "This is what you do. This is what you do." And he told them exactly how to cut the lamb. He told them that they had to eat it all before morning. They had, how to do it, what they had to cook it with. I mean, instruction after instructions about it, because it represented, it had to be perfect, because it represented his son Jesus that would come and die upon the cross. And so blood had to be shed for it to represent what Jesus would do for us. And it says that they killed the lamb. They put the blood over the lintel and the doorpost. And as the death angel was released, can you imagine the death angel, or angels, whatever, would come and they would look at a house and they'd say, "Well, no blood," and they'd go in. And they would kill the firstborn son. The firstborn of everything was killed that day, or death came to them. And they would go to the next house and they would look. And they'd see the blood and they said, "Well, okay, gotta cross over and go to the next one." Now, all that night, that's what they did. That's what happened. They went from house to house. Now, I mean, their houses were made different from what ours is, basically. They were all kind of merged together, cement blocks and stuff like that, but merged together. So door to door, it's not like houses so much that we have today. But they went from door to door representing each family. And whoever was in that house house that had the blood, we know, was safe.
No.
But every place that did not have the blood of Jesus, or the blood of the goats, I say Jesus because it represented the goat or the lambs, did not have it, was killed. And so obedience brings the blessings of God. When we obey what God says, blessings will flow upon that home and upon the people in that home. It's still represented today. If the blood of Jesus is over the door or on our hearts and we have received him, the blessings of God will come upon us. Not that we serve him for the blessings, but we serve him out of obedience unto him, and the blessings flow to us. Now look at this. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, just to coincide with that, 12:13. It says this, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." And probably one of the best scriptures. "And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." So we need to make sure the blood of Jesus is continually upon our hearts, people. That we look to the cross of Calvary for all things. That we look to the cross of Calvary for our healing, for our help, for everything within our hearts and in our lives. Now, we see, and you might say, "Well, Pastor, I know all that. That's good. We need to be reminded sometimes." But what I want to say is this. We're going to read scripture that after they came out of Egypt, and they had the mighty miracle of the Red Sea opening up to them, and they're on the other side, God spoke to Moses again and instituted it back to the church, because that was the church back then. That was the church, that they were not to forget the Passover, but keep it according to his will and keep doing it. So that they would not forget how God had taken them out of the land of Egypt and was bringing them to a land of promise that he promised to them if they would obey him. Now look at this. Look at Numbers chapter 9. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers chapter 9. Look at starting with verse 1. It says, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year, after they were to come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season," which they say in the commentary, the Passover was probably in April sometime. "In the 14th day of this month at evening, you shall keep it in his appointed season, according to all the rites of it, and according to all the ceremonies thereof, shall you keep it." So he's saying this. They come out of the land of Egypt. They see a mighty miracle of the Red Sea opening. They're on the other side of the Red Sea. They get to the Sinai, Mount Sinai, and all that area. And God speaks to Moses, and he said, "Make sure my people do not forget the Passover." Because you see, God wanted to make sure that they did not forget the miracle, working, power of who he is and how he was the one that brought them out of bondage, not themselves. It wasn't their power, it wasn't their prestige, but it was the power of Almighty God. And we should never forget that when we were back then, in our days of not knowing God, that it was not us that brought us out and is living a good life today, but it's by the power of Almighty God that he broke the bondages upon our hearts and upon our lives. It was the power of Almighty God that saved our souls, that took drunkenness out of our hearts, that took drugs out of our hearts, that took unfaithfulness out of our hearts, that did lying out of our tongue, took those things away, and healed our hearts. never to forget that it's God Almighty that has put the cross before us and has laid that foundation in our hearts and in our lives. The power of Almighty God. Look at this, though. You might say, is that the verse you want? No, not yet. Leading all to the verse I'm about to come to. And Moses spoke. It's an amazing thing to me. How many times, and I know I mentioned this before, how many times God said, spoke to Moses and said, do this and do that. Amazing to me. And Moses did it. Now, we know Moses did mess up at one time, something. But to me, I see his heart as a heart after God. That wilderness experience did a great thing to him. People, you want to know why we go through that wilderness? Because it's a place where we see God. You know, as Moses was in Egypt, and you know, he had the best things of everything. I mean, the food, everything, the housing, everything. But when it was stripped from him, and he was 40 years in that wilderness, and yes, God gave him a wife, and yes, God gave him a son, and God blessed him. But yet those 40 years of wandering around in the wilderness and being there, you know, in that area where God was trying to take Egypt out of him, where he was trying to take self-reliance out of him, where he would fall upon his knees and call upon the God of Israel, where he would fall upon his knees and say, God, help me. Help me. I know you've called me, and I messed up. I killed the Egyptian soldier. I messed up, but Father, you can speak life again, and you can help me be that deliverer that you want me to be. It was in those years of when we think, or those times when we think God is farthest from us, is when actually God is the closest to us. It's those hard times sometimes, people, that God lets us see what's in our hearts and in our lives. And he's saying, Joe, get it out. And you say, Lord, I can't do it, but Father, I lay up on your altar and say, Lord, do it. Lord, take out those things that need to be taken out and place in me those things that need to be there so that we can lead the church in the right direction, Lord God, so we can do what God wants us to do. The power of all. Let me tell you this. God will not share any prestige with any man at all. Thank God. Amen. He will not share any glory with any woman or any man or any boy or any girl. And thank God. We want God to be exalted, God to be praised, and God to be honored in all of our hearts and in our lives and in our churches. Amen. Look at this. And Moses spoke to the children of Israel and they that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover. And he's saying, and he says, they kept the Passover the 14th day of the first month at evening in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So did the children of Israel. And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. And those men said unto him, we are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel? Now look at this. You might say, man, thank God these men went to Moses and Aaron. Moses, God spoke to Moses, and let me explain this to you, and said, look, they're to keep the Passover. Make sure my people don't forget who I am. People, we forget. We forget sometimes what God did for us 20 years ago. And I know that's a long time ago. Sometimes we forget what God did 5 years ago. And we would go on down and out and didn't know what to do. Your last $20 and God, and you didn't know how you were going to make it tomorrow. Sometimes we forget what God did for us last year. When we were just depressed, not knowing what to do, not knowing where to go. Sometimes we forget what God did for us last week, or even today. We are to remind ourselves of the blessings of what God has done for us. Remind yourself. Say, thank you, Lord, for my salvation, Lord. Thank you for taking me out of being a drunkard. My God, don't forget that. You know, you want to forget what maybe you did as a drunk, but you don't want to forget how God miraculously came in and took those things away, healed your body, and did a mighty miracle of not even desiring that stuff anymore. My God. Don't forget how God has taken us out of evil and sin, and how God has miraculously supplied for us, how we called upon the name of the Lord by ourselves, and God Almighty came in that room by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Don't forget those things. I know I shared with you how I needed $20, or I just need money. That's what they gave me. Didn't have no money for gas, no money. This is a long time ago. And one day I was just after church, I took my Bible. Just took my, like, this is a Bible. I just took my Bible and I said, well, I gotta go. I didn't know how I was gonna make it work. I mean, the car's on empty. What are you doing? I'm not gonna go tell everybody what I need. There's only one person I need to tell. Be careful when somebody comes and tells you all that they need. Because they're looking for you to supply. Be careful. Be careful. And that doesn't mean you don't pray together. And that's the body of Christ. But be careful. But you go to the Lord. And I remember just going, you know, I was talking to people in the hallway. And they said something about a scripture. And I said, well, let me find it. Hold on, I have a Bible. And I opened it. And lo and behold, a $20 bill just... You know, 30 years, 40 years ago, 40 years, $20 paid for a lot of gas. $20 might not get a fourth of a tank right now. I don't know. With $2.50 a gallon. But just don't go to Hawaii where it's $4.50. And you won't get much. You better have a bike. Or a motorcycle. It's $4.50 or so, $4.75. And what's the premium? $5.50? Oh, you don't even know what to look at. But anyway, don't forget those things. Look, I try to remind myself, thank you, Lord. You supplied then. I went to you, didn't know what was going to happen. And look how God, now God had, to, somebody had to obey. Obey. Don't forget those things, people. Don't forget how good God has been to you. Sometimes we can get into mully grubs and think about all the evil. But let me tell you, yes, the world is not getting better. Our country's doing well, people. There are many jobs. I mean, people, we have the lowest unemployment rate in 60 years, 70 years. I mean, it's just, we're doing great as a country as far as that part. Morality, no. Socially, no. But don't forget the goodness of God, how he protected you. Don't forget how he supplied for you. Don't forget how he saved your souls. That's what he was trying to tell the children of Israel through Moses. Don't let them forget what I did for them in Egypt. Even though they yes, I'm supplying quail for them, and I'm supplying heavenly bread for them. Don't let them forget what I did for them. Don't let them forget. And they were supposed to do that every year. Remember the Passover. You know, that's why God instituted communion. So we would not forget the death, burial, and resurrection of his son. It didn't say the death, burial, and resurrection of the Father. That we would not forget the death, burial, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ, that paid the price so that we would not forget. Not forget. It says this. Look at verse 6. And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. And those men said unto him, we are defiled by the dead body of a man, wherefore we are kept back, that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel. You have to understand, people would, if you touched a dead body, for whatever reasons, you were considered defiled by God. You had to go and be cleansed. And there were certain things in the scripture that you had to do to be cleansed. You know, we don't understand that too much. Yeah, we hear about it because we can be cleansed in an instant with the blood of Jesus. You know, we sin today, and right at that next second, you know, we said something, we did something, we thought something, we acted upon something. And let me tell you, after we do it, we feel so bad that we want to dig ourselves in a hole. And all we got to do is go before him and say, Father, I come to you through the precious name of Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. And Father, I ask for forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me. And it says in an instant that we are forgiven by the power of God. We're instant because of the blood of Jesus and because of what he did at the cross. We are taking that benefit of the cross and applying it to our hearts and into our lives. They had the blood of bulls and goats. The blood of bulls and goats and lambs and sheep, all that could do was cover the sins of the people. It never eliminated it. It covered it so he could see the blood, the Father, and still bless them. But these men, it says, came to him, Moses, and said, look, we've defiled ourselves. We cannot keep what you want us to do. Honestly, I honor those men that they came and said, we can't. We want to, but we can't. And look what Moses said. Amazing thing. He says, and Moses said unto them, stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. Now, stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. That's an amazing statement. Moses didn't say, well, you know, I think you should do this or that. Moses was a great preacher, anointed by God. That man said, hold on, stand still. Let me go find out what God says. That's what a preacher should do. That's the standard that God has set for pastors. Let me find out what the Word says. Let me find out what God says. I mean, Moses could have rattled something off, but it wouldn't have been according to what God wanted. Moses learned that you go to him constantly. We need to lean upon the Lord in good times and in bad times, leaning upon him constantly. Moses leaned upon the Lord when they were in Egypt. When he came back after his experience, and he leaned upon the Lord when they went through the Red Sea, he leaned upon the Lord when they were on the other side of the battle, he leaned upon the Lord, listening to the voice of the Lord. People, God lives in you. You've been born again by the Spirit of the living God. You've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He lives in you. He can speak to you. Say yes. He can speak to you. Now, you might say, well, how do we know the voice of the Lord? Number one is, it always lines up with the Word of God. God will never tell you to sin. You might say, Pastor, why are you telling me? Because there are things going on in churches that are horrible. God will never tell you to do something that is against his word. Never. 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 That's not God. So you see, the number one standard would be when God wanting to speak to us, because we all have things that we go to God about, saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. I've learned one thing. Wait. Lord, I don't know what to do. You wait and you pray. You wait and you pray. You never make a decision when you're high up, and you never make a decision when you're just on the low total pole. of depression. Never. Never. Because I can grant you it will be the wrong decision. Moses went to God and said, what are we to do? And God gave the answer. And we're not going to read it, but you can read the next few verses. And he told them that they can do it a month or so later and keep it still. That's the grace of God. My God. There are many things that God is wanting to do in us and through us, people. We have to be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. Also, another thing that God may use when God's, and you know, there's different degrees of obedience, if you want to say it that way. You know, God wants you to move to Timbuktu, but that's a bigger decision than just handing a tract to somebody or praying with somebody. No, I mean, you know, that's kind of a big decision, Timbuktu. But another thing, God will use people to confirm what God has already spoken to you about. And I use the confirm. I've heard people tell people, and God spoke to them to tell them that they're to pick up and move and go to this certain place, leave your church, resign from it, go to this other place and start a church. And let me tell you, that God didn't speak to that individual preacher first. And let me tell you, some of them did it, and they ended up on Skid Road because the Spirit of God wasn't there. See, we have to know God for us. See, Moses knew God for himself and for the people. I'm telling you, the times that Moses was trying to teach the people, all those other times, he was in prayer, praying to the Father, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, show me what to do. See, as fathers and mothers, you should be on your knees before God, constantly going before him, saying, Lord, help me to lead my family in the right direction. Help me to not make a wrong decision that could damn the souls of my children for eternity. We need to take this thing serious, people.
Amen.
Come on. We got to know there's a God out there that is looking for a people that are separated unto him, that will hold up the torch of righteousness, saying, this is right, this is right, this is right. And you know what? This is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. That will stand up for the truth of the gospel and the power of Almighty God to move in our hearts and in our lives. You have the power of God. You have the Spirit of God. You have God in you. And God wanting to use you to proclaim the gospel to this world. That's the power of Almighty God. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. I want to give you an example of some things. He says this. Because you see, you might say, Pastor, sometimes I don't know if this is God or not. You know, sometimes God will just speak things, and it's like, sometimes you know without a shadow of a doubt that this is God. And then sometimes you kind of like, oh, Lord. I mean, that's the truth, huh? Is the truth. And so, you know, I want you to see in scripture that, you know, there were disciples in the same place, and look what they did. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia, the region of Galatia, and were prevented the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not, and they passed by Mysia and came down to Troas. Go to the next scripture. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and praying him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathered that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel. Here we see Paul and Timothy. Paul and Timothy wanted to preach the gospel. They will go into different lands and different areas. If I can, you see, we read all, you know, we tried to pronounce all these towns and villages and so whatever. But I want to get you, I want you to look at a picture. There's the Mediterranean Sea here. Okay. At the bottom is Egypt. Then there's the Red Sea. Everybody got it? Then there's Israel right here. Then it's going up to Antioch. Okay. Then it talks about in the scripture that they wanted to go to Bithynia, which is here on the top of the Mediterranean Sea, between the Mediterranean Sea and the Black Sea. Paul and Timothy want to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of God said, what? No. Well, they said, well, okay, but we want to go to Galatia. And the Spirit of God said, what? No. Then they said, well, let's go to Troas, which is way over here. And the Spirit of God said, what? No. You can read it. Then it says, well, then after Troas, they had the Aegean River, I think it's here. Then Macedonia is way over here. So they started out way over here. I mean, it's a lot of land. You look on the map, it's a lot of land. They wanted to go to Bithynia, Galatia, Troas, and they ended up in Macedonia. That's the Spirit of God. You might say, well, why didn't the Spirit of God let them go to those places? They weren't ready, maybe. They weren't ready to receive the word. Because we know God cares about all these people. You see, you might say, well, to us, well, I can understand their point of view in, you know, Paul and Timothy, let's go to the first place that's closest to us and preach the gospel. But God told, the Spirit of God said no. Ooh. Then they go to Bithynia. The Spirit of God says no. Tries, no. Then it says the vision came to him. Now you might say, well, does God always work in visions? Well, not always, but God does. God still has visions. I've had visions of things. Just write them down. And you say, okay, now, Lord, I've been awoken out of a dead sleep and saw a vision of buildings. And God saying, this is it. You're going, okay. And you go back to sleep. You're just the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, people. We're the New Testament church.
Amen.
We're not the Old Testament. We're only the priest that God would speak through. But we are the New Testament church. Jesus Christ died upon the church, upon the cross for us. He lives inside of you.
Amen.
God calls. We go preach. God calls. You go share the gospel. God calls. You give a tract out. God calls. You invite people to church. God calls. You do something according to his will. God calls. You give your money to the gospel. God calls. You give your time to the gospel. God calls and you do what God calls you to do. And it says this, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Now, let me ask you this. How do you think Paul and Timothy felt every time they were trying to go into a place? Because they felt, well, this is God. Going into Bithynia. Or Galatia. Let's do Galatia. Going in. Spirit of God says, no! Whoa, okay, Lord, you know what's best. People, we got to remember God knows. Don't look at what things look like from the outside. The church of the living God is so goes by physical seeing that it destroys the spirit on the inside. The church world out there would say, if a church is not full of people, you're not successful. Ooh. That's the truth. But if you can get them in there to eat something, you're successful. You know, some church, I'm gonna say this and I'm gonna stop. But some churches have dinners every Sunday so they can fill the pews, so they can eat, so it looks good upon the pastors and upon the. It's a sad thing, people. It's the Spirit of God. Because you can have a massive amount of people, and there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong. But no Spirit. No Spirit. It's like a car with no gas. You can't go anywhere. Nothing's happening. Try to start it. It won't start. Won't start. You can keep trying and keep trying. You can have faith. You can believe. You can believe. You can believe. But if there's no gas and there's no fire of the Holy Spirit, if there's no gas in it, it's not going anywhere. So it's just like us. If we don't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, that born-again experience, the power of Almighty God, we're not going to do anything for the Lord. But it says this, that they came to vision and prayed, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia. And assuredly gathered the Lord and called us for to preach the gospel of today. Approved by God. Bithynia wasn't approved. Troas wasn't approved. Galatia wasn't approved. But it was approved by the Spirit. And look, we need to be moved by the Spirit of the Almighty God, people. We got to know the Spirit of God in us. Say, Lord, lead me and guide me. And where you want me to be, what you want me to do, that's the Spirit of Almighty God. The New Testament church is not just to wander around. Well, I don't know, I might go through there, I might do this. No. We have a definite plan by the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is the head of the church. And he tells the pastors what to do. And those pastors listen to the Spirit of God. And as the Spirit of God moves upon the people, it accomplishes what God wants them to accomplish. That's how it works. It's not by committees. You can have 20 different committees and all come up with different ways. But that doesn't work, people. It's the Spirit of God. Now, that doesn't, there's nothing wrong with committees. If it's been done by God and led by the Holy Spirit. But then they got to, can you, you know, Paul and Timothy, y'all wonder they got discouraged. Huh? You know, we read this scripture a little bit. Okay, well, you know, you had a vision. Yep, he's at Macedonia. All right. But I wonder when they tried to go into Bithynia and Troas and Galatia, and the Spirit of God would then go in almost, and the Spirit of God would say, no. Now, let's ask the question, what if they would have been in? Ooh. That's when problems come. And things happen. That's why you never make a decision. Listen to the Lord on self. Listen to the word of the Lord. Listen to the Spirit of God. And he will lead you in the right direction to do what is right all the time. Can you imagine that last day as they just tried to go into these places? Paul and Timothy said, well, let's just go to bed tonight. They didn't realize that a vision was coming. But you see, they sought God. You know, in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The first part of it is, seek ye first. Seek first the kingdom. And let me tell you, you will find that he will lead you and put you where he wants you to be. Wouldn't it be a sad thing one day when God comes and we're at his throne? I'll just use myself. He'd say, you know, Joseph, I had the best things for you, but why did you go to Gaon and start that church that I told you to do? Why did you do it? And you know he's telling the truth. And you have to look and say, Father, I'm sorry. Tim, you want to go up there when it's time. Either we die physically here upon the earth, or he comes during the rapture. That when we get there, we're at his throne. And he's handing out awards and all the things that come with the whole shebang that's going to go on. That we've all accomplished what God has set out for us to accomplish. I know some of us are thinking, well, you know, years ago I didn't serve the Lord. I understand that. But now you are. Let's get the job done. Let's see souls saved. Keep preaching the gospel, people. Keep telling people about the Lord. It might seem like they don't want to hear anymore, but you just keep on going. Let me tell you, it might be those words that save their souls. Those words that will save their souls and bring them and snatch them out of the kingdom of hell into the kingdom of light. Thank God. The robber on the left side, or right, whatever, one of them, was hanging with Jesus. Thank God. You know, they both had an opportunity. They both had the same equal distance to Jesus physically. They both heard what Jesus said or didn't say. And it says that one of them turned to him and said, remember me in paradise. That's the guy that had the shortest time in paradise. And there's no more of that going on anymore. It's closed down. The shortest. You can imagine. The guy dies. They usher him in to paradise, which is not heaven, because Jesus hadn't died. And all of a sudden, right after that, Jesus dies, and then Jesus comes down through the Spirit and goes to paradise and takes all those people out. And you know, that guy was just in there with his luggage, just getting everything in place. I'm just trying. His little hotel room. And all of a sudden, Jesus said, let's go. Man, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Now there's a place where right when we've gone, we go to heaven. There's no going this way, left, or to the right, but there's only one way to him, in him alone. What a God we serve. Praise God, praise God. What a God we serve, what a God we serve. People, we have a mission out here. Reach the lost. Keep sharing the gospel. Keep telling the people about the Lord. Keep telling them, don't give up. Don't give up. Everything that we do, they look at us and say, how do you react to that? What did we do? Sometimes we fail, that's okay, but we still look to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me and help to live a life that is pleasing to you. That's the kind of God we serve that wants to speak to us. Let the Spirit of God, I'm about to close, let the Spirit of God speak to you. Let be moved by the Spirit of God and not by flesh. Be moved by the Spirit of God that lives inside of you. You know, like you have been driving on the road and all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord will say, I want you to pray for this person. I mean, it's like you just start praying. Or you just do, you walk in on the street, you know, because you're trying to get in shape, you know, or something, exercise. And the Spirit of God will say, you know, you haven't seen that person in a while. What is it? Okay, well. Because God knows what's happening in the homes. God knows what's happening. And he knows the deal and work. That's a Macedonian call, people. That's a Macedonian call, going where God says to go. Can you imagine when the Spirit of God spoke to them? My God. They got up that next day, they were ready to roll, man. Ready to go into that place of Macedonia and preach the gospel. And look, when God calls, he equips, and the fruit will be there. That's God. And you may stay in peace.